2 Timothy chapter 2. Super grateful for these guys. And you saw some pictures of Jesse and also Brian at the school. One of the neat things for me, we had went to the school in July when we took the students, and we had given the kids a bracelet, just a silicone bracelet with different colors that would represent different parts of the gospel. And there were several kids that still had the bracelet on. And so I was able to ask them about what the colors had meant and represented, so that the purpose of that was that they could share the gospel when they went home. And they were able to repeat to me back what they meant. And it's pretty exciting to see that they had remembered and were still even wearing those and hopefully sharing about what they meant. Today, and over the last several weeks, we kind of started back several weeks ago when Connor, who shared last up here, his wife, Julia, had brought her potter's wheel. And we had discussed how we are just clay in the potter's hands. He is the potter, we are the clay. Therefore, we are to be yielded, to be allow him to mold us into the men and women that he has called us to be. And in that, we would be used for his purpose. And so we've kind of been on this journey of seeking, what is your purpose for me? How do you want to use me for your purpose and your will? Too often, I think we turn to the potter, to God, and say, no, I want to be used this way, or I'm not made like that, or I don't want to do that. And I think a lot of times it's because we want to be in control, just honest. And so my hope and my prayer has been, as we look at this, we don't just look at what we should be doing, but instead we are starting to identify who he has called us to be. And as we surrender and as we follow the Lord, the who will become more evident. And we started with the call that Jesus had for his first disciples to follow him, to live truth in their lives. And as they followed him, that ultimately they would leave their jobs, their family, and go follow. And the question was why? Well, because they were following the rabbi. They were apprentice under him. They were a disciple, a mathetes in the original language. And that's very clear. We looked at how many times we call ourselves Christians, which actually is only found three times in the Bible, but this word mathetes, some over 200 times, and how the call must start with us understanding that we are to be an apprentice of Jesus. We're to be like him. We're to become like him. And that his call is evident from the beginning. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he says. And so, what is he calling us to do? Well, here in 2 Timothy, Paul instructs Timothy what he is to do and how he is to live that out. A very clear picture of one that I want us to see. But before we do, I want to look back a little bit of some of the ones that we have already looked at. For you and I to be a follower of Jesus and to become like him, then who we should become, we must become a disciple worthy of reproducing ourselves. Not everything that reproduces is good. I mean, you think of cancer cells, right? They reproduce inside the body. Those are not good cells, but yet they reproduce themselves. And so you and I, if we are to make disciples, then what are we reproducing? And so the hope is that it'll be a clear picture. Here's what we're to be producing. And in that, not only is it here's what we're to be reproducing, here's who you and I are called to be. And I think that that will help us with some clarity then as to what we are trying to make. And we've also started a Sunday night class. It'll be 8 weeks. We started it just a couple Sundays ago. We'll have number two tonight. If you didn't come to the first one, go ahead and plan to come tonight at 6 o'clock, because this is what we're looking at. Who is God calling us to be? How does that flesh out in the very specific circles of influence that you have, whether you're retired, whether you have a work at a job surrounded by others, or whether you're a stay-at-home mom or someone who's in school, wherever you're at and any other situation you find yourselves in, how does that to be lived out, the calling of God upon our lives? And that's what we're going to be looking at and asking questions and evaluating as a people. But as we look at where we've been, The first one that we looked at is that if we are going to depend upon God, then who that would look like is that you and I would be a Spirit-led follower. That we're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by our own passions or our own desires or even our own wants in this life, because if that's the case, then we're just going to follow the pattern of this world. But if we're led by the Spirit, then we're going to trust the Spirit that has been placed in us. One of the challenges that I gave to the believers in the church that we built is like, this is just a building. God does not live in buildings made by men. No, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I challenged them not to let this building be the place where ministry happens, but instead use it as a tool. But that ultimately they go out and into the community, along the river and other villages or off to school, and they're there to be the light. They're to allow the power of Christ to go with them, and the same is true for us. We come here, and this is a building that we gather in, but there's nothing special about this building other than the fact that it's where we gather. And so as we gather, we're to come to be encouraged so that we can be the church out in the world from as soon as we leave until we return, right? You take the light wherever it is that you go. And in that, we're to take the light and push back darkness, as we've talked about. So we're to be led by the Spirit. And in that, we must ask the question, am I abiding in Christ? Am I walking by the Spirit, with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God in me? Next, we looked at that... As we love God, he's going to lead us to love people. And so who does that mean that I should be? Well, I should be an intentional neighbor. I should be intentional with the people that I come in contact with. Whether that's someone at a restaurant or my literal neighbor next door to me, I should be intentional. Things aren't going to happen by accident. It's not going to be by accident that I point them to Jesus. It's only going to be intentional. But I can do things that show them love. I can, we just had actually the day that we talked about all of this, we had to cancel church because of snow. What a great opportunity for us to show love to our neighbors by maybe helping them get to their car and shoveling some snow or whatever it is that you could be intentional to show love for people around you. The one we looked at, that we're going to look at today, is a fruitful reproducer. We know that God has called us to make disciples. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Here is the great commission that he has given us. But who should I be? What should that look like? How do I do that? Well, it comes that we are a fruitful reproducer. That as I abide in Christ and cling to him, spend time in his word, then the fruit of the Spirit will naturally come out in my life, and I will naturally then want to reproduce that. I want to see that. And when I look at my brother or sister in Christ, then that's the expectation that we have for one another, is that you be a reproducer. You're to reproduce yourself. You're to you should take what has been given to you, all that we have sang about this morning, that we've been redeemed and we've been reconciled to God and he's made this purchase in our life. Yes, these are great things that happened to us so that now we can be in right standing with God. Would we not want our family to experience that as well? The hope and adventure that you and I get to be a part of on a daily basis, would we not want others, believers, to experience that? And if we identify and look at them in their life and they're not experiencing that, then we're to walk and do life together and say, come on, there's a whole part of this thing you're missing out on. This is an adventure that we get to have together, that we get to be a part of what God's doing right here in our community, day in and day out. Sometimes just living life is an adventure, and I tell you, it should be fun and it should be joyous. I was welcomed back to the airport by my family, and I have a picture to show you how they welcomed me. Welcome home from fat camp, right? Leave it to your family to be all encouraging when you get home, right? I don't know if you could see it, but down in parentheses under camp, our foster boys, that's why I had to put something over the eyes. Is just because they're not supposed to be on public, but they call me Chatty, and so my girls added to it. Now it's Fatty Chatty. Okay, I don't know if you can see that, but it's a fun adventure that we get to be on together. And I just want to tell you, as we follow God man, we get to be a part of what he's doing. And it should be fun. We should have fun doing it. Amen? And so what a joy it is. Let us look at what it means to be a fruitful reproducer. Next week, we'll look at what it means to be a selfless servant. Like, if I'm prioritizing the kingdom of God, then I can be selfless. I can lay down my fears and go to another country. I can lay down my fears and serve my neighbor. I can lay down my fears and give sacrificially. You see, if I'm a selfless servant, then I can lay down my own wants, my own desires, and follow him. Why? Because I prioritize his kingdom, not my own, but his. And one of the things I want you to see is that every single one of us, people are watching. And so we are making disciples. Like, parents, your kids are watching you. And you are the example that they are looking at what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And what do they see? What are the priorities that they see in your life? When you start asking those hard questions, you're like, whoa. Like, think about, I was in youth ministry for 10 or 12 years, and one of the things that I could see, there's this statistic that says that, 90% of students, when they go off to college or leave home, don't return to the church, anywhere from 70 to 90, but it's a terrifying statistic. And I wonder if it's because they just have not seen an authentic faith lived out. This is our responsibility, to help our kids see that this is an authentic relationship that we get to have with a holy God, and it's an adventure that he has us on that we get to impact intentionally other people's lives. But if they don't see that, then they're going to miss it. They're going to think it's just that we're no different than the voodoo in the Sarah Macan, right? Among the Sarah Macan, that we have and do our own things, and the reasons why we do them is just traditions, and we are doing ritual things here this morning. Our kids are going to see it as that unless they see that it's powerful and they see that it's life-changing and that they see that this is an adventure and it's meant to impact other people's lives. And so, what I'm asking us to do is to not be okay with just coming together, keeping the lights on, but let us depend upon a God who is at work in lives around us. Let us join him in what he's doing and do it his way, not our way. A couple of Sundays when we had our first training, I set up 3 trash cans and I brought someone up and I told them, and I, showed them what to do, and so I just shot at the middle trash can. And I told them, I said, the goal here is to make as many points as you can. Well, what they didn't know, because it was on the other side of the trash can, is I had points of the trash can, and the middle one was 0. So when I brought them up to the front, which one do you think they threw at? Which one? The middle. Why? Because they saw me do it, right? I shot at the middle one, and the next person that came up, they knew they could see the points because it was to the crowd, and so which one did he shot? He shot the one with the most points. Just to let you know, he made every one of them. Now he was granny throwing. I don't know if we should count, but he made every one. And so the last person, though, I said, hey, the only instruction was to make as many points as you could. You know what he did? He just went down there and just poured it into the one that had the most points. And my question was, why do we do the things that we do? Think about it. Think about what we do here on Sunday. Like, why do we do that? Why do we have someone come up and sing 3 or 4 songs, and then we tell you some announcements, and then someone comes up and we preach the word, and then we sing another song, and then I say you're sent, and why do we do that? Why do we do the things that we do? Is it because we've seen other people do it? We saw someone, hey, that looks pretty good, I guess I'll do that. Or my question that I'm bringing to us is, why would we not, as followers of Jesus, do what he has commanded us to do? And when something doesn't align with what he's commanded us to do, we start to ask questions. Hey, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we teaching others to observe all that he has commanded? Why aren't we making disciples as a church? If this was fill this room, if this was success, then we're doing pretty good. But if making disciples is the mission that we're on, I don't know that we can say that we're like faithfully doing that as a whole, right? And so we are called then as followers, like every one of us. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, there is an expectation that you become a fisher of men. You become like Jesus, that you go and make disciples as you're going. And if you're like, I just don't know how to do that, I haven't seen that, then which is why we're meeting on Sunday nights. Well, then let's do this together. Let's figure this out together. Let's ask the hard questions, and then let's be willing to respond according to the Word of God in obedience to the Spirit as He leads us. Amen? And so, this is the call. So if you're taking notes, a couple things I want to look at. The first one is we are called to abide in Jesus as the foundation. Like, this is what we do. We cling to Him. Jesus taught this over and over. Think of all the things He taught about of making that we're to reproduce, right? A seed, when it dies, and then it hits the ground, and then it produces a crop, 60, 100-fold, right? We see that. This picture of fruit is all throughout. You will know them by their fruit. We see Him. He calls His disciples that if we're to cling to Him, we're to abide, and as we abide, we produce fruit. Apart from Him, we can do nothing, John 15:5. And so it must start there. We'll be led by the Spirit as we do. But multiplication is clearly the call that He has for us. And so let's look at it. If you don't mind, just in honor of God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. And I just have a few minutes, so we'll see how far we get. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen, right? Now, let it not be my own strength. No one's asking you to run out there and muster up something, but no, trust Jesus. Abide in Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Father, we thank you for your word. As we see here, Paul instructing Timothy, help us to also take what we have learned, and that, Lord, we too would entrust it to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. And so, God, I pray you would lead us, help us to trust you, help us to see that you've called us to invest in others. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So again, we abide in Jesus. Second one is multiplication will not happen by accident. You will not one day wake up and be like, I made some disciples. It will be only when you're intentional, trusting Him, being obedient to what He has called you to. Third thing I want you to see is that we are called to entrust to faithful reproducers. This word in verse number 2 is, take what you have heard from me. So this is Paul saying it, and he's saying it to Timothy. So Paul, Timothy, entrust it to others who then will teach others. So we see four generations there. This word entrust is like you've been entrusted with something very valuable. So I'm going to entrust it with someone else. Think of the gospel and the grace that you have been shown. Here you and I are, weak, flawed, sinners, and yet God has shown us grace. He's reconciled us back to relationship with Him, and we're to help others to see that. And so we're to teach them and show them. The next word is faithful that I want you to see. Faithful, I've started several discipleship groups, and I wish I could tell you that every person that goes through moves on in maturity, but there are some that just aren't faithful. Things come up, they get in the way, they are not able to meet, and that's evident. And so as much as I encourage them, and I remember here's what we had agreed upon and talked about in life, there are things that just come up, but there are other times that they're not pursuing the things of the Lord. And so instead of just trying to pull them along, I have to move on, and that's hard. But it has to be those who see that call and desire and are willing. They're reliable. They're loyal to Christ. They're ready to follow Him. And then, able to teach others. The multiplier. Someone who is willing to teach us. I think that here's where I believe so much of this falls apart. There's a picture. I wish I got it ready, but I didn't. I didn't think about it. But there's a picture of a big duck with all the ducklings behind it that I think is a beautiful picture of that. The big duck would be Jesus, and then all of us are like ducklings behind. And I think that we feel like we have to be Jesus before we can lead anyone else. But we're all following Jesus. And so I think it's helpful for us to realize that, like, all of us, any of us, can be like, hey, let's go together and let's follow Jesus and let's learn from one another. So if you go and approach other, it doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers. It just means that you want to be willing to follow Jesus. And if you can go and ask a couple of other people and say, hey, let's do this together, then together you can grow and mature. And when questions arise, you might have to seek wise counsel. But you run after Jesus together and you encourage one another, hold each other accountable. You don't have to be Jesus. And I think that sometimes, like, I can't do that. I can't make disciples because I don't know enough. Well, when are you going to know enough? Like, what point? When are you going to wake up and be like, you know what? I'm ready. You know? I think at some point it's going to require faith for you just to say, God, you've called me to do this. I don't know how, but I'm willing to learn and be trained and get under somebody and say, okay, let's go. And so maybe you would ask someone to coach you who you know has done it before. Then meet with them on a regular basis, but don't let it keep you from being obedient, because God has placed a circle around you, people who I believe who are looking for hope or who may be hungry or God is at work in their lives. And you know what? He's already sent you amongst them. Be ready. Be obedient. Trust him. I love this picture. When we do candlelight service on Christmas Eve, you know, you have the one candle, someone comes up and lights it, and then they'll go light a couple of people, and man, it starts to spread, right? And then they light, and then they light, and then all the lights start, and sometimes this whole side will get lit over here, and this one's kind of lagging behind, and then before you know it, they start lighting over here, and it's like, woof, you know? It's just this movement of light, and that is what I'm praying. I'm praying that we as a church would realize that God has called us to invest in a few, just as Jesus did. And that by investing in a few, that then those will go invest in a few. And then they will. And they will. And before we know it, there was just this mighty movement. And it starts to begin to spread to where you work in Tulsa or Bartlesville or wherever it is you are. And it starts to spread there. And from there, you start to see it spread. And then we have students who begin to meet in the school, and whether or not they ever come to our church or not, I don't even care. Listen, this is not about the kingdom here at First Baptist, but it is about the kingdom of God. And so we just trust him, and we go out, and we share, and we just believe that if we'll do it according to his plan, that he'll bless it. We trust him for it. And there's always someone, well, how are we going to make sure everyone's teaching all the things? You know, we do what we can when we hear things about it, but we let them dive into the Word, and we let the Holy Spirit work, and we trust him. And so I want to tell you that there's a cost. And as we'll look at next week, as we talk about selfless servanthood, I believe it will ultimately fuel the multiplication, and it will continue, and it will require us to become selfless. But I want to tell you that in that, we embrace the adventure. One of the greatest things about taking people to the mission field is they step out in faith for sometimes their first time ever. Like, just even signing up, getting things ready is a huge step for them. But then you get to see them embrace the adventure. You get to see them go, man, there's no way I ever thought I could do that. You mean I talk and then have someone translate it and then wait? Like, how do you do that? Come on, let's go. He promises to give us words to say. Let's go. Yeah, but man, did you hear those drums last night? That was a little scary. Yeah, but you know what? Jesus has all authority. Do you know every demon that encountered Jesus, they always asked him permission? Are you here? Are you here to cast? Son of God, it's not the time. Always recognize the authority of Jesus. We don't have to fear. We don't have anything to fear. All I'm saying, if we start to trust him in the day today, we'll embrace the adventure. Our comfort zones, you know, it's beautiful when the comfort zones start to lay down and the lines are muddied. What's my comfort zone? Jesus is everywhere. I'll follow him wherever he wants to go, right? And so, trust him. We have a mission. And if we had enough time, we could continue on. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You and I, we have a mission. We've been entrusted with the word of God, with the grace of God, and he tells us to present ourselves before him as one approved, as one who is called, set apart. Here I am for your work and your glory. I don't have all the answers. I'm weak. I still struggle with some sin, but I don't want to. And we trust Jesus. We allow the Spirit to lead us, and we say, let's go. But what we are so conditioned to is if you don't know the results, don't step out. If it's scary, stay where it's secure. If you don't know the end results, then wait until you do. And I just want to tell you, there is nothing that God will call you to that he will give you the results to. Nothing. It's always going to require faith. It's always going to require obedience. It's always going to require you to be selfless and say, God, I need you. That's the whole point. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the mission that you've given us. And I pray that today that you will help us to respond. God, I pray that we'll learn and seek to abide in you. We'll open your word. We'll protect time. We'll be willing to adjust our lives according to your word and your truth. God, I pray that you would help us to identify people in our lives right now, people we come in contact with, we see. Help us to love them. Help us to be willing to invest in them. I pray, God, that you would lay some on our hearts and that we would follow, be led by your Spirit to go to them. God, help us right now to pray, to call to you, knowing that you are at work, ready to join you in what you're doing. Help us to embrace the adventure. And so, God, here we are. Lead us, mold us. As living sacrifices to you, here we are. God, I pray that you'd move in power. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.